Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vapiano SE Q1 earnings call 2018. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Jochen Hoffmann, who will start the meeting today. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Lutz Schaper, our CFO, and myself welcome you to our Q1 2018 results conference. We're very happy to lead you through our first quarter and open afterwards the discussion with your questions. Q1 overall showed a strong turnover increase by 14.5%, up to 86 million euros turnover. On a like-for-like basis, Q1 rose slightly by 0.1%. We were happy to see a strong like-for-like development in one of our core markets, in the German market, by 2.2%. We had an offset in the rest of European business by a slow start into the new year in Sweden and the Netherlands. On the other hand, we could increase the adjusted EBITDA strongly and over proportionate by 32.2%, up to 9.3 million euros. That shows a margin increase of 1.4%, up to 10.7% versus previous year. We could almost double the reported EBITDA up to 6.9 million euros by 92.3%. That's a significant margin increase of 3.2 percentage points, up to 8% on the reported base. In the first quarter, we opened three new restaurants. Year to date, in the meantime, we opened seven new restaurants. We can confirm, and we'll show that a little bit more in detail as well, that the opening pipeline for full year 2018 is fully secured. Our rollout of one of our strong initiatives in terms of the digitalization, the rollout of the new takeaway and home delivery segments in our restaurants is fully on track. We could implement 27 new takeaways by end of March 2018. That brings us, in the meantime, after 37% last year, end of last year, up to 50% of the overall restaurant network implementing the takeaway and delivery segment. That means actually we're running in 103 of our restaurants, those additional opportunities for our guests to experience Vapiano. Our CapEx with 14.4 million is slightly below previous year, which was 17 million, due to the fact that our CapEx mostly was used for new openings, whereas in the last year we also had significant remodelings to do. The executive board confirms our outlook for full year 2018 as of today. We will go through that later during the presentation. If you look on our new openings, we could open a great new restaurant in Utrecht at the railway station. The still opening from last year, Miami, took place in March as well. We opened in Canberra a beautiful new restaurant. As you recall, we also took over the majority in the Australian market after the opening of Toowoomba last year and see a very positive development going forward in that market as well. After the Q1, we opened at the railway station Stockholm another restaurant. We opened our eighth restaurant in Berlin, at Checkpoint Charlie. In the Middle East, we could celebrate a great new opening in Kuwait. In the area of Bordeaux, we opened a French restaurant in Pau. I'm also happy to announce today that the little baby, the first mini in the United States, opened last Monday with a new guest journey for the United States, fully terminal and open kitchen structured. We briefly talked about the on-track delivering or openings of our takeaway and home delivery sections. As I just said, we're running 103 now. You can see on the following page the proportions by each country. Of course, the majority still is in the German and the French market. Out of the last year, 76, we were already running 60% of those openings or those takeaways in the German and French market. And now in this year, step by step, we will fulfill in the further weeks the network also abroad in the other markets with the takeaway and home delivery business. In this first quarter, we had already 18 takeaways like for like. As you recall, especially starting in the second half of last year, we opened a significant number of new takeaways. But 18 were also like for like in the first quarter, delivering approximately 15% like for like on the base. If you follow me to page 5, we just want to give you an overview before I hand over in terms of the profitability to Lutz Schaper. You see the overall development of our sales. So the group grew in the first quarter by double digit 14.5% up to 86.3 million euros turnover. The German market could increase the turnover by 7.7% up to 37.5 million euros. Rest of Europe had the strongest growth, mostly driven by the new openings of the last year. And as you remember, we had a strong opening initiative, especially also in the French market, grew by 27% up to 44.2 million. So for the first time, significantly, rest of Europe is delivering a significant higher proportion in terms of turnover than the core market, Germany. And rest of world had a slight decrease by 300,000 euros by minus 6%. That's due to China because we refurbished our Chinese pilot store into a new service model. I will talk about that in a minute. And we had significant closing days due to very wintry conditions in the United States. So we had to close 11 days. That sums up to around 20% of the opening times, especially in the Chicago area, where we're running 2 restaurants. On a like-for-like basis, after a strong 4.3% in the previous year, we grew by 0.1%. I just mentioned it in my intro that the German market, after plus 3%, could improve by 2.2%. After 5.7% previous year, we had a negative development in rest of Europe that was mainly driven by the Swedish and the Dutch market, whereas the French market, the Austrian market, and I just mentioned the German market, so the core European markets grew on the upper end of our guidance. The reasons for the Swedish and the Dutch development are overall, we had certainly relatively strong wintry conditions, even in the Swedish market until the Easter break. As you might recall, it was very wintry and snowy. But on the other hand, and I think that's the core reason for the Swedish business, and we mentioned that in our last call, we had to reset the management structure there. We were not really happy with the operational excellency that our Swedish team delivered. And since mid of March, our new CEO, Mr. Madsen, the former CEO of the Danish business of McDonald's, is now in place, and we see first signs of operational excellency improvement. In the Dutch business, which was slowly behind our expectations in a single-digit area, we had two major issues. One was in the Dutch market, in the Amsterdam market, which is next to Rotterdam, the most important market we have. We closed last year to the refurbishment one of the two stores, so that had a very strong double-digit like-for-like increase. Now the second store is running again, and of course we could not catch up with the strong increase that the first store had last year. And we also had there some days where we had state of emergency where we couldn't run the businesses due to the wintry conditions. On the rest of world, we had a slight minus by 3.6%. That's mainly due to the fact that we had to take out the Shanghai business due to the refurbishment and the closing days we just spoke about. We had in the Chicago area, as I just said, 11 days where we couldn't run the business. And please keep in mind that the biggest store we have in the rest of world, which is the New York store, which is contributing now by 15% like-for-like plus, is not counting into the like-for-like. If we would implement the New York store, we would have a 1% like-for-like increase also in the rest of Europe. Having said that, I would like to hand over to Lutz to lead you through the EBITDA and EBITDA margin performance of our actual business Q1.
Yeah, good morning together from my side. We are happy to announce the margin development on the very positive side. As you can see on page 6 of the presentation, our net sales growth is 14.5%, run into an increase in EBITDA of 32%, which is over proportional, and a strong improvement in the margin to now 10.7%. So very positive development for us, and we are very confident that this is now a good trend for the year, and is also showing that the success of our programs we put in place to improve profitability over recent years. The restaurant contribution also improved by 1 million euro. I come to the margin development of the restaurant business on the next page when we go into the different markets. Moving on to page 7, we are very happy to announce a positive margin development improvement for our core market, Germany. The recovery process, which we started 2 years ago, is continuing. We have improved our margin 14.7% on the restaurant level and 15.9% on the segment, including franchise, and also the like-for-like margin improved to 15.4%. So overall, a very positive development for Germany. On the flip side of the medal, slightly disappointment around the margin development in Europe. I think Jochen mentioned already the like-for-like development. Two of the markets which also eat into the margin development with a reduction of the like-for-like margin from 19.1% to 16.6%. And also on the restaurant level, we reduced our margin from 19 to 50.5. This, of course, we are heavily working on to recover there and to come up to old margin profiles. Let me also mention in addition that currently we have 4 stores in the startup situation in Denmark and Scotland, which have another positive margin development, and therefore the margin dilution is affecting that overall margin as well. But nevertheless, we are in process here to improve and to come back to old margin profiles during 2018. The rest of world, stable development, strong improvement on the franchise business. Overall, also here, improvement on the EBITDA from 7.4% to 15.7%. In regards to the reported EBITDA, we are happy to announce a strong improvement also on the reported EBITDA from 3.6 million to 5.9, so merely doubling the reported EBITDA, and that's a positive development for us. On the adjustments, we have reduced them significantly compared to prior year. We have to report a currency loss, which is only in translation impact. It's not something which is operational. It, again, as I mentioned last quarter, relates mainly to the US dollar development. One-time impact decreased from 0.8 to 0.4, so half more than compared to last year. And the pre-opening cost increased to compared to last year. In that number and the 1.2, please consider that we have remaining costs from 17 of 0.45. We have around 300,000 for takeaway openings and 450 for the new openings, which we opened in Q1 to 18. That confirms the overall development that we want to reduce the opening cost per store to 150 again, which we had a slight disappointment in the Q4 2017. Net debt situation is in line with last quarter, slightly increased to 3.1, nevertheless in line with our planning. And investments went down, as Jochen mentioned, from 17 million to 14.4 million. Please consider that last year we had to remodel 3 big stores in the Q1, which is Bonn, which is Düsseldorf, as well as London, and that remodeling didn't take place in Q1 18. So the majority of the 14.4 million, as stated here, were invested into new openings, either for Q1 already for Q2. With this, I would like to hand over to Jochen to give a summary on the guidance for 2018, which didn't change, but maybe to repeat the current status.
Yeah, just let me, thank you, Lutz. We're going to confirm fully the guidance we gave a couple of weeks ago. On the restaurant opening side, we can confirm that we will deliver the guidance we discussed in our last call. All openings are fully on track, and what we can also confirm is not only that it's signed, but also in terms of the time schedule. What we can also confirm is that this year we have the positive situation that more openings will come much, much earlier than in the previous year. meaning by end of Q2, we expect 15 new openings already running. And in Q3 and Q4, we expect 9 to 12 openings to come. And if you remember last year, we had the majority of our openings in the last quarter. And the net sales, as we just guided them, 390 to 420, are confirmed as well. We also confirm our like-for-like guidance and as well as our adjusted EBITDA guidance. And I think the delivering of EBITDA on the first quarter gives us a very, very strong confidence that if you look on the percentage that each quarter has to deliver on an EBITDA side, we had a very positive start into the first quarter. Management will focus very strongly now with the initiatives in terms of takeaway, but also focusing very strongly on the Swedish and the Netherlands, the Dutch market, to bring those markets in the positive like-for-like trend that we see in Germany, in France, in Austria, and other key markets. Having said that, I think after the brief summary, I hand over to Lutz for page 13 to give you an overview of what drove the business. And then we should start into our questionnaire.
Yeah. In on page 13, you see the backup on the like-for-like development. You see that we, as Jochen mentioned, have different developments by region. More or less, we were very happy, and we are announcing here positive numbers for the ticket size development. Due to different reasons, and Jochen gave into that details already earlier, we had slight negative developments for the guest count. But that is a clear focus for us to improve that during the year 2018, and a clear target for the management to show a positive development in the next quarters to come. As you see, I don't want to repeat the numbers in Germany and Europe, slight negative. The big negative development in US was 12.6, just to mention, is relating to the 11 closing days we had in our stores. That, of course, is already around 15% of the business trading in that quarter. Good. So with that, I would hand over to the Q&A list so the operator may come in to start the session.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We've received the first question from Mark Josephson of Equinet. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, and congratulations with Q1. With the takeaway or the home delivery rollout now across 50% of the chain, I appreciate it's still early days, but are you able to say whether that is largely incremental sales, or is there a modest cannibalization of eating in from that development?
Mark, thank you for your question. So far, where we have really the like-for-like figures on the takeaway business, which is on a base of 18 running, we can really see it's incremental after 5% cannibalization. That means the net increase is around 10%, mm-hmm. and it's really keeping very stable. And the bigger the number of experience or the bigger the number of openings we have, we will always update you on that. But on the base of 18, we can confirm that this would be really fully incremental on the business.
Okay, great. Great news. I have a second question with respect to the jump in the EBITDA margin. And in particular, you highlight the implementation of the operational excellence program concept, etc. Can you just give a bit more background here in terms of how much more you think that this can yield in terms of benefiting margins going forward?
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of, Mark, in terms of the productivity increase that we see here on the restaurant basis, we can see for this year or expect for this year a 3 to 5% increase on the productivity in the restaurants, meaning how many labor hours are we using to serve one guest. That, of course, doesn't directly transform into 3 to 5% EBITDA. That would be fantastic. But we see that this contributes because part of it is going into service and part of it is going directly into labor cost. We can see that it contributes up to 0.25% of increase of the EBITDA on the restaurant basis. And you see we could increase between 1.1 all the way up to 2% on the restaurant basis in the last couple of months. So that would be the part of the productivity or OPEX scheme that we see. We are rolling out now, actually, the second round in the restaurants that had the strong increases in last year. And I think in the next call in around September, we can give you the clear figures on this second, so to say, rollout for a significant number of restaurants who already had the support of this measurement in the last year. So we can give you a clearer picture if the 3-5% that we assume are pretty stable over a broader base of restaurants.
Right, good indeed. Mm-hmm. I have one last question, if I may, and then I hand it over to others. The World Cup is about to start. If we go back to the last World Cup, you know, how did that affect business and in terms of the public viewing, which, of course, is quite popular here in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will it be the case that there'll be TVs in most of the restaurants and the like? And can you say anything about that at this stage?
Yeah, we had a negative impact during the last World Cup to our like-for-like development. We are not doing video viewing in our restaurants, as most of our target group is women, so they are not so much interested in that, only for the German games, to be honest. Therefore, we have planned in our forecast and guidance a certain impact on the like-for-likes for the countries which are affected, which is Germany, France, Sweden, and the UK. Netherlands, as you know, is not affected this year. They're not participating in the World Cup. Nevertheless, we have a positive impact first time this year, which we put into consideration as well to have a positive impact, which is a takeaway business. We didn't have that during last World Cup, as we started it 2 years ago only. We had only one location with takeaway, which was Fürth at that point of time. So therefore, we have considered also a positive development. In general, we expect for the 4 weeks for the core markets a negative between 1 to 1.5% like-for-like impact, which is already compensated by two positive takeaway impacts, which we plan.
Very comprehensive. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you as well, Mark.
The next question is from Nicolas Marder of Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon now as well from my side. Three questions. The first one, can you walk us through how you want to get the like-for-like sales growth for the remainder of the year back into your guided range of 1-3%? And while doing so, can you comment on whether you went through with your plans of a price increase in Germany and what's behind the 10.3% ticket increase in rest of world? That's the first set of questions. The second one is, can you talk a bit about your new concept that you're testing in Berlin and what you can potentially learn from it for your other stores? And third, on the restaurant contribution margin, can you explain what kept operating leverage that low? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So let me first start maybe with the last question, with the question number four, Berlin, the new concept. Yes, that's right, Nicholas. We're testing right now in Berlin 1. That's a two-level store with more than 3 million euros turnover. A new guest journey, and this new guest journey for the others in the round that haven't heard that yet. Is a guest journey where our guests can order on order terminals, where our guests can order at human order points, and where our guests can order for the first time the full menu with using their app and having, so to say, a seamless guest journey in the restaurant. We are testing this now for approximately 4 weeks. So in terms of the figures, it is quite early to say, but from what we see here today, we see on two major positive impacts. One is that we see a reducement of the waiting times, the queuing times of our guests. And as you know, especially in a sort of restaurant business, fast casual, like we are positioned, queuing and synchronized cooking is key for our guests, especially in the lunchtime. And we see significant decrease on the waiting times. Just to give you a first, and please don't take that as the long run figure, but to give you a first indication. So when the average waiting time at lunchtime was around 25 minutes, we could decrease this now to 16 minutes. I think that's a very significant positive impact. I just read the first market research we did in that content, the qualitative market research, and that's highly appreciated and very positively acknowledged by our guests. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the full guest journey ordering with the app, we also see a very positive acknowledgement of our guests, and we see the same high increase of the average ticket that we reported in the times when we only could order bar and dolce via the app. And number three, the terminals, and we're running in that restaurant six terminals, especially, and they're really serving the needs of our guests, especially in the rush. They go up to 38-40% of users or guests using those terminals. That certainly decreases, of course, the waiting time because that automatically goes into the kitchen for production. The detailed figures on the productivity increase of our cooks we can deliver definitely before our September call, but certainly this will be part of our September call because with the Porsche guys we're measuring right now how fast the cooks are. And the first figures are also indicating our estimation or confirming our estimation of a significant productivity increase. Having said that, at the same time we opened in Q1 Checkpoint Charlie, another restaurant in the famous exporter between East and West, and this restaurant was directly structured in this new model, so we can also measure how fast the ramp-up is versus other restaurants who don't use this, let's say, the new guest journey. And we will evaluate very, very reasonable in the next couple of weeks, and then in the second half discuss finally with our supervisory board how we proceed in terms of those figures. That's answering, I guess, one of your questions in terms how do we want to go back to like-for-like increase. I just said that our like-for-like, Nicholas, is giving the fact that the overall traffic environment in Europe was really, really not favorable for retailers and restaurants. And I think you all acknowledge that maybe from other companies you're covering. We could show a very good like-for-like increase in the German market, but as I also said, over the guidance in the Austrian market and on the upper end of the guidance in the French market as well. So we have to focus primarily on two markets who were giving us sort of a little bit of kickback, and that's Sweden and the Netherlands. In Sweden, in our diagnosis, we have a very clear picture where it comes from, and it's purely operational excellence, and we have now the right management in place to deliver. And in the Netherlands, we also saw already improvements in the actual trading. In addition to that, the rollout of the takeaway will take place. As you know, the takeaway, Lutz just said that was primarily, or I said that, rollout in the German and French market. We will proceed with rolling that out in the other markets. And having said that, this will bring us to deliver the guidance of our like-for-like. Please also take in consideration that a few big restaurants like GPS in UK that was not in like-for-like in quarter one, trading up on a high single-digit like-for-like, and it's the most important store we have in UK, for instance, is getting into like-for-like in Q2 now. The same happens for our biggest store, one of the biggest stores in France, which is Marseille. And the same will happen in Q3 in the big delivering restaurant in the United States right now, which is delivering double-digit growth since refurbishment. And that will be New York, which is going into like-for-like as well. These are just some, let's say, technical things. And last but not least, we're very happy that the resources of management will be very much focused on those two markets, which gave us a little bit of kickback in Q1, as I said, Sweden and the Netherlands, because our new COO, who's now learning cooking, washing, and running a restaurant like I did 3 years ago, he will take over operational responsibility on 1st of July, and his focus will also be primarily, next to other responsibilities, of course, in those two markets. So management is really confident to deliver the 1-3% that we guided due to those facts. And then we come to the question of the 10.3% increase of the ticket. That's purely because China isn't reflected due to the refurbishment we do here. So we are on the level now of the American business, if you take China out, because the average tickets in China were significantly below the U.S. tickets. To your question of potential price increases, we have not executed in Q1 additional price increases than the one we mentioned in our last call. In Germany, we have a 1.8% full price increase, ceteris paribus, if the same numbers of dishes were sold. We are now evaluating further potential for the second half of the year in other markets, but it's too early to disclose if we do additional price increases on top of the ones we have already decided. I think that covered...
Restaurant margin. Restaurant margin remains. Yeah. You had a question regarding the restaurant margin, Nicolas. So as you rightly stated, the restaurant margin drops from 50.5 to 14.7 for the whole group. If you refer to page 7 of the deck, you see that it's purely coming from the Europe market, and I explained that also before. As you said, we had a negative like-for-like in Netherlands and Sweden, which is 30% of our stores, and they had a drop in margin. So therefore, we had to consider that in our like-for-like margin, went down from 19.1 to 16.6. In addition, we have the Scottish and the Danish markets, in total 4 stores, which are still on a very low margin because they just started in the end of Q4 17. Even some of them are negative. So therefore, that is explainable for the drop in margin. We expect a margin improvement over the course of the 2018 financial year for that segment.
You also have to keep in mind, Nicholas, if you look on the rest of Europe overall performance, that the biggest ramp up we had last year was the rest of Europe, right? Those restaurants were just starting, and most of them started in Q4. And you know that after month 6, we start to deliver positive EBITDA. So more than 70% of the openings are not even in month 6 right now, and of course they have an impact on the overall margin business as well, next to the 2 markets that Lutz just mentioned. But now, from now on, as you know, the more get into after month 6, go to 7, 8, 9, 10, and of course the upcoming year, they have the same growth portfolio in terms of the margin like we see that in those restaurants, except Edinburgh and Glasgow. They have the same growth ratio in terms of the EBITDA as we have it for a long experience period in our setup.
And again, German margin improved from 13.4 to 14.7% on restaurant levels, so very positive development also for that segment, at least. Does this answer all your questions, Nicholas?
Yeah, all my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from Christian Grund of Equinet. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, Christian Grund from Equinet. It's just an additional update on the mini Vapianos. I would like to hear, is the rollout planned or decided, or when will that happen? And the second question, also similar, on the terminal ordering. They did a lot of testing and with different systems, but I think the decision to roll out for all restaurants is still has to be made. When will this happen? And the last question, of course, then I think that these two issues are also driving your like-for-like. And is it correct to assume that your like-for-like growth will be back-end loaded in the current year?
Thanks, Christian, for the questions. In terms of the mini, we are fully on track with the minis that are running for a longer period. I reported last time that Ingolstadt is delivering up to 21% EBITDA, and it's still very stable on the track. Vienna was very positive as well. Also in Q1, positive, the little one, the second one we have in Shopping City Süd, and fully on track in the same ramp-up path that we see it in Ingolstadt. The third one just opened 2 days ago on a Monday in Chicago. By the way, 41% as well of the turnover was made by the terminals, where you can pay right away, where you can check out. So we can report in a couple of weeks on that development here. And the fourth one is the development we have with HMS Host, where the project is also fully on track. And from today's perspective, we are confident that as soon as the location is signed by HMS, we get pretty fast experience here on that as well. So summing up, very positive and confidence on the little for the time being. The decision we will discuss with Supervisory Board, as I said last in the last call as well, in the second half of the year, as soon as we get a significant number of, let's say, data facts that we can really decide on an additional or supplementary rollout of the little babies. But we can confirm from today that we have no backdrop in terms of that new initiative of the little ones. In terms of the terminals, you remember we're testing the two versions, the Chicago one, and the same we have also in Vienna, where you can pay right away with all your credit cards and the app. And on the other hand, like in Berlin, we're testing the one where you still have the RFID card to get a real final picture on the point that we might lose additional sales for the guests who finish their first order because they were already checked out. Yeah. It looks like that the full payment solution seems to be on the right track. I cannot confirm today if we finally decide on that. But this will be also part in our strategy discussion we have by beginning of the second half with our supervisory board. So there will come a decision during the second half of the year. We're also still working with Aquilec and Pyramid on the additional, effectiveness of their production for the terminals and the buzzers. So that once we switch the button to roll out, we can really deliver such a fast rollout as we delivered with the takeaway and home delivery business. In terms of the like-for-like increase or delivering the guidance of the like-for-like increase, yes, we believe it's a little bit more backloaded, but certainly not on Q4 of this year. But it will be backloaded on the next three quarters that we're delivering after, of course, the first start we had. Very important is that we get the recovery of the Swedish market fast on track. We believe that we see a recovery in the second half of the year, and that will definitely then impact as well the overall like-for-like of our business. I think I covered your questions, Christian. Oh,
yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks.
Okay.
The following question is from Rebecca Lane. Please go ahead.
Hi, Johan and Lutz. Thank you for that. I've just got a few questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
The first one is regarding France. Obviously, it's a kind of a key driver of growth for you, and you've commented that it's been positive in Q1. I just wanted a few more words on whether the momentum there has been sustained in terms of more superior ramp-up, average selling price and margins. Also wondered if you could give a few words just on the backdrop in the UK, obviously despite Great Portland Street being out of your Q1 like-for-likes. And then lastly, just in terms of the rest of Europe margins, I know we've already kind of touched on that, but just more specifically, what the impact of OPEX is here and what you're seeing in terms of cost and inflation, specifically obviously wages and food.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me briefly speak about France first, Rebecca. Thank you very much for your questions. Yes, France, we believe that the momentum is sustainable. I just said we delivered in Q1 on the upper end of the guidance, a like-for-like growth, in a market that was also infected partly by wintry conditions. So for the first time, for instance, there were two crazy days in Paris where you could not open restaurants. The new openings that we opened last year in the French market are fully on budget, so we're very happy with the performance here. And if we also look on the EBITDA performance of the French market, it is fully in alignment with our expectations. We don't see any, additional competition coming into the market, so it's really a momentum we foresee to be sustainable for the next couple of 2 to 3 years. And if we also speak with our peers that are going in the same, let's say, speed in the market, like the Five Guys and other guys, we see a very positive, let's say, feedback from them as well. So first, France, yes, sustainable, and we keep on growing there. We keep on opening there very strong.
Just as a reminder, Rebecca, they're delivering strongly EBITDA margins above 20%.
Yes.
So we can confirm that number. So it's between 23 and 25, which we have done in the past. So that number we can confirm from our side for the French business without giving into that much detail.
Thank you.
So to your question on the British market, which is, if I look at the peers, pretty much under pressure right now, we can confirm that with GPS, with the effect of GPS, because, I mean, it's still a small market for us, the British market so far, and the incremental like-for-like that GPS is delivering, we can confirm that we are on the upper end of our guidance positive in the actual trading. I think that answers your question. We had this effect in the first quarter. As I just said, GPS didn't count into comp sales. And on the other hand, we had up to 30% like-for-like increase on Bond Street in Soho, which we couldn't cover in the first quarter. But now we're growing on the upper end again, even in a market that's highly under pressure. But we see that Vapiano has a unique edge in the market in London and UK, so that we don't see any negative impact for the rest of the year in terms of the like-for-like. And then the third question, in terms of OPEX, I think...
Yeah, we...
In terms of how much OPEX can cover cost inflation, it is very different from market to market in terms of our expectations. So the cost inflation in terms of labor, for instance, for the German market, expectations around 2% this year. With the increase of 3 to 5% productivity, we believe that, for instance, the labor cost inflation in the German market we can cover. In other markets where you have a labor cost inflation of 2 to 3%, we are partly on the first rollout of OPEX. And you remember the first rollout, except the Swedish market, delivered up to 15% productivity increase in the last year. So having said that, we believe that overall in Europe, where we see a cost inflation of food and labor combined of 3%, with what we see in the markets where we have already the second rollout of OPEX delivering 3 to 5%, we can cover cost inflation. Of course, if there's any harvest issues, which we could not hedge, that are coming up, that would be another issue. But so far, there's nothing we could see. In terms of the food area where we have shortages due to harvest or other things. There's an overall increase in the milk products in the European markets, but so far we can cover that with better, let's say, negotiations in terms of economies of scale in other areas. So we don't see an additional, let's say, risk that cost inflation would offset the EBITDA increase that we are foreseeing for this year. And I think Q1 confirms that with a very strong statement in terms of EBITDA reported and adjusted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
There are currently no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We've received one further question of James Roland Clark of Barclays. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just one more question, please. Are you able to provide the Sweden and Netherlands like-for-likes in Q1 and what rest of Europe would have been without these two markets? And to your knowledge, the extent to which the negative like-for-likes there were driven by the one-off sort of external weather tough conditions versus operational issues. Thanks.
Okay. So without the in Q1, without the Swedish or the Dutch market, we would have been in the upper two-thirds of our guidance for the full year, to your question. And in terms of the like-for-like in both markets, it's single to higher single in the Swedish market, like-for-like decrease we did not enjoy in Q1. But as I just said, I think important is that the analysis is clear, and the analysis for the Swedish market is pretty clear, and management is in place. So for the rest of the year, of the full year, we believe that we can stop the negative deviation we had in the Swedish market, and that we certainly come back also to the very positive trading we had last year in the Dutch market to really stop the negative deviation here as well. So coming back without Dutch and the Swedish market, we would have been, as I said, in the upper end, close to 2%.
Okay, thank you. So is it fair to say that, back to your earlier comment about the like-for-like phasing being slightly back-end loaded, that reflects Sweden and the Netherlands being a small drag for a couple of quarters?
Yeah, that reflects, of course, the recovery of those two markets on one hand. It also reflects the significant amount of more like-for-like takeaways that we have. Right now we only have 18, and you remember that in Q3 and Q4 last year, we opened a very much new takeaway and home delivery segment. So a lot will come also at the end of Q2, but very much will come into like-for-like with their additional value driving on a like-for-like basis in Q3 and Q4.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. And also please keep in mind that the proportion for Q1 is the smallest in the full year turnovers. So it's only slightly over 20% of the full year turnover that we experience in the Q1 versus the rest of the year. So those initiatives will then have a stronger impact on top, of course, because then you have a quarter that's delivering up to 28% of the full year turnover, like in Q4. Okay. Does that answer your question? So,
yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We haven't received any further questions, so I hand back to you, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you very much for your good questions. We are very, very confident and very much confirming our guidance for the rest of the year. We thank you so much for your support, and we are more than happy also after this call to go into more detailed questions or some questions you couldn't answer or that are coming up into your mind in the next days or today. We are available for you, and we're looking forward to inform you on the running business in our next call in September. We're also, as you know, having our first annual shareholder meeting on June 6th, and of course, we are also very happy to, if there's some questions around that, to answer them directly in one-on-ones with you together with Lutz. Thank you so much for joining the call, and have a great day and a good rest of the week.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.